Good evening and welcome to Heartwood Part 4. Over the last three nights we've told you about the king who went hunting and never returned, his queen who was one of the fae that was so eaten up by grief that her three sons set off on a quest to find the magical healing leaves, how they didn't know where they were going, argued over a map and tore it to pieces, until they agreed when they reached a fork in the road to go their separate ways to try and find it. And if none was successful, they would meet back at that place in 1 month's time. I told you the tale of the eldest brother and the things that he learned. And tonight, I'm going to tell you the tale of the middle brother. So sit back and enjoy Heartwood, Part 4. The middle brother had left the other two at the fork in the road. And without looking back, he strode on. He was feeling so positive. He was feeling so good. He walked for most of the day until he began to feel hungry and then tired, and then he wasn't feeling so positive and good. His mood was distinctly changing. And that was, he felt, his biggest weakness. He was changeable and he had let the environment affect him. He felt miserable, he felt sad, and he didn't know what to do. And eventually that road that he had taken led him into a deep and dark part of the forest, where he was completely lost. And he heard the trickling of a brook from beyond the trees and sought the source of the sound to see if there was sanctuary or someone there that could offer him help. He could find no one, but he drank deeply from the river, and then sat with his back against a tree and slowly fell fast asleep. He awoke to the forest being lit only by the light of the moon. And he heard a strange noise, a kind of a metallic-y, earthy noise. Now, he hadn't spent a lot of time on a farm, and if he had, he would have recognised at once it was the sound of a man digging with a metal spade in soil. So he crept through the bushes and he watched, and he saw the man pause, look around, and then began to dig again. But instead of digging something up, he was burying something. And the middle prince looked on, so curious to know what it was. He lost his balance and fell into the clearing where the man was digging. He was terrified. He didn't know what scoundrel this man was or what might be in the box. And he steeled himself to be attacked. He wasn't very good at defending himself. He left that to his elder brother and his fancy swordsmanship. But the man just laughed. He said, "Boy, what are you doing out so late?" And before you knew it, the middle prince had told that man his whole story. "Oh, seems we're both on a quest," said the man that had been digging. And the story that the man told was this. He had found, while planting in one of his vegetable patches, a turnip patch it was, that seemed to have mysterious disappearances of turnips from one day to the next, but he had found, buried deep beneath the earth, a wooden box. And when he had opened that wooden box, he had found it full of gold coin. Well, the middle prince's eyes widened and he said, "Well, why didn't you take it home? Why are you reburying it here deep in the forest?" He said the farmer. "You don't know my wife," he said. "She's lovely. I adore her. She is as beautiful to me now as the day we got married, but my goodness, that woman can talk. She cannot hold a secret, and whether it's for the purity of her heart or the fact that she just likes to talk. The minute she saw this box, she would want to know what was in it, and I would have to tell her. And the minute she had seen the gold coins, well, I can tell you she would have told everyone of our good fortune. Not to boast, you understand, but because she would like to share. And before you know it, everyone would know, and it would reach the ears of the judge in the city. and he would say that it was his land and it belonged to him, and I would lose it all. So my plan was to bury it here. Well, anyone could find it, said the middle prince. I'll tell you what. Why don't we take it back to your farm and bury it there? With the two of us, we could dig deep, dig fast. It's in the middle of the night. Your wife would never know. And so that's what they agreed. The farmer and the middle prince carried that wooden chest between them, and the road was lighter and the task lighter because of it. They found themselves in the scullery of the farmhouse, an old earthen floor, and they began to dig. And they were making great progress until the middle prince, well, he reached up to stretch his back. He wasn't used to such hard manual labour, and the top of his spade, well, it clattered into the cupboard and the milk jug fell down with a crash and woke up the farmer's wife. And she came downstairs rubbing her eyes and smiled at her husband and said, "Oh, I have company. Let me put the kettle on." And the two men looked so guilty that by the time she'd woken up fully, she said, "Well, what is it? What are you hiding from me?" And the farmer, who loved his wife dearly, could hide nothing from her. And he said, "Well, I found this." And he showed her the wooden chest. But he said, "You mustn't tell anybody. Because if anyone knows, well, the judge in the next village will claim it as his own because it was his land, and we'll be as poor as ever. And think of how we could live and the good we could do with this money." And indeed, she did. She thought of all her friends that were scraping by and how they could help the village. And it was such a wonderful idea. She clapped her hands and she said, "Of course I'll tell no one." And she winked at her husband. And she said, and who's this young man?" "A young lad I found lost in the forest." "Well, he's welcome as well." "You promise," said the farmer, "you will not tell anybody." "Of course I won't. What do you take me for?" she said. A secret is as good as kept on my lips." Well, they all went to bed. But the farmer woke up early. His wife was still asleep. He woke up the young prince. He said, "My wife will not be able to keep a secret. As hard as she tries, she will not be able to do it. We must put things in place. Have you any ideas? Because she will tell people and we will be called before the judge." Well, the middle prince, who had paid close attentions to the ways of the court and the wise men and the scribes, said, "I think I have an idea." And he whispered in the farmer's ear, and they set off to market early that morning. They brought a great hamper of fish with a few of the gold coins. They brought the most delicious buns and cakes and strings of sausages and carried them home. Well, before the farmer's wife woke up, they set about scattering the fish on the floor of the forest, putting the buns and cakes in the trees and setting up several fishing rods and attaching the sausages. I know, it seems ridiculous. But the farmer then ran upstairs and woke up his wife and said, wife, the most amazing thing has happened. It only happens at certain times of the year when the moon and the winds and the seasons are just right. I have never witnessed it before, but the young man that I found in the forest has, and he tells me we must get into the forest quickly before the sun is up, and there will be a harvest aplenty." Well, she didn't quite know what to make of it, but she picked up a couple of baskets and followed her husband. "There," he said, "look, last night it rained fish." And sure enough, there were fish all over the forest floor. "Really," she said, "this is a curious thing." And the middle prince said, "Oh, it happens all the time in my kingdom, but the moon and the weather and the seasons have to be just right. You're very lucky." "Well," she said, "we certainly are," and she gathered up the fish. And wife, look at this," said the farmer, pointing to the trees. "We are so lucky. This is such a rare phenomenon. Very few people have seen it. The trees have blossomed into buns. And sure enough, instead of rich fruit, there was buns and cakes on the trees. She looked a little curious, furrowed her eyes, but the middle prince said, "Oh, yes, it happens all the time in my kingdom. Very rare. Most people wouldn't know, but it really does happen." And so they plucked the buns and the cakes. And then the two men, they said, "Oh, and look at this. We set out fishing this morning because this is the very day when the sausages, they swim upstream. Go on, wife, try." And she took the fishing rod and it bucked against the current. But when she pulled it out, oh, goodness me, there was a whole row of sausages. She said, "Well, in all my born days, I have never seen such marvels." "You are lucky to live to see such," said the middle prince. They went home and they had a great feast. And then she went into the marketplace to distribute some of the food, for it was too much for them to eat. And of course, one word led to a sentence. One sentence led to a statement. One statement led to a story. One story led to a piece of gossip. And before you knew it, the whole story of the gold coins was out and how their luck had changed. And well, it didn't take long to reach the ears of the judge. When the judge heard, just as the farmer had expected, he and his wife were called before. And they stood there in front of the judge, and the judge looked and said, "I hear you found a box of gold coins on my land." "Did you?" said the farmer. "Where did you hear such a story?" And the judge had to admit that he hadn't actually heard the story except via the gossip of the courtiers, who'd heard it from the gossip of the women in the town, who'd heard it from the farmer's wife. "Well," said the farmer, "I know of no such thing. You should ask my wife. She is a very honest woman." "Indeed, everyone knows that she cannot keep a secret. She is honest, honest as the day is long. Tell me, my dear," said the judge, smiling, "when did you find the box of gold coins?" And the farmer's wife thought. And then her face lit up and she said, "Oh, it was the night before the most wonderful thing." "And what wonderful thing was that?" "Well, it was the day it rained fish. It rained fish." "Oh, yes," she said, "it's very rare. And the trees burst into bun. The trees burst into bun. Oh, yes, and cakes. All manner of wonderful buns and cakes. And, oh, it was the very morning that the sausages swam upstream. What a breakfast we had." And she continued to talk. And the judge looked at the farmer and said, I'm very sorry that she lives in a world of her own, doesn't she?" And the farmer smiled and said, "She is my wife and I love her, whichever world she lives in." And so the king didn't believe a word of the gossip, for how could you rely on the word of a woman that thinks sausages swim upstream? I don't know what they did with that money. That is more stories than I could tell you this night. But, well, the farmer, he thanked the middle prince, and the middle prince thanked the farmer, a little wiser, a little less changeable, and he made his way back to the fork in the road. And that is the end of part 4.